Life can be rough for the business traveler, the frenetic pace, the jet lag, not to mention the amount of time it takes away from one's family. Jim Cote has co-authored a book about the stress that business travel puts on families. It's called On the Road Again, Travel, Love, and Marriage. Jim stopped by recently to offer advice for the spouse on the go, as well as coping strategies for the family left behind. I asked him exactly how frequent business travel affects relationships.
Well, the fact of the matter is that it does not create problems. There are always existing issues in any set of relationships, and what it does is it exposes them, and it just adds additional stress, which can create some fractures in relationships.
Do you think the spouse at home suffers more than the one on the road, or is it the other way around?
It depends on who you talk to. If you talk to the homebound spouse, he or she will say, goodness sakes, this has got to be harder on me because I'm handling everything by myself. You know, bill paying, maintenance, the children, plus holding down my own job, etc. But for anybody that's traveled, you find out very quickly that travel is not glamorous. It's very rigorous. Most of us put in long hours trying to get our work done so that we can get back home.
Well, I'd imagine that business travel can be difficult on the kids left behind, too.
Well, it really can be, because children, and I've got three, they spell love T-I-M-E, and it's hard for them to understand when you tell them, you know, son or daughter, I love you, but I'm not going to make your recital, I'm not going to be at your soccer game, or, you know, I'm just not going to be around much.
So how can parents help their kids deal with the separation? And if you do have to miss an important event, like your kid's softball game or a school play, how do you handle it best?
We found that proactivity relative to planning goes a long way in communicating your love and commitment to your family when you're out of town. So by that I mean, if you know that recitals and soccer games are coming up, as best you can put them on your day timer, then you can make a call back, maybe right before that recital, and say, honey, I want you to know I'm thinking about you, I'm so proud of you, and I'll be with you in spirit, and I'll call you tonight and see how it went.
What are other practical things people can do besides calling to feel closer to home?
We suggest taking along pictures of your family or mementos. My son was always good to give me a toy so that I could remember, Nathan and Dad. Well, I had Nathan's toy in my briefcase. And similarly, I might leave them something at home, maybe even a to-do. It's something that we do frequently. Maybe it's go hit golf balls, and I'll tell my boys, hey, you guys, you go hit a few for me on Thursday night. I won't be there, but I'll be with you in spirit.
Now, I'm real familiar with that all-important question, what are you bringing back for me? But I'd like to think that's less about a present I might be carrying and more about the fact that it lets my kids know that while I was traveling, I was thinking about them.
It'll burn your wallet out quickly to try and buy a gift every time you're out of town if you're a frequent traveler for all of your children. So what I tried to do, and I stumbled upon this rather accidentally, on a trip where I didn't have much cash on me, I wanted to bring, again, one of my sons, Nathan, my youngest, I wanted to bring him home something that let him know I was thinking about him on the road, because he really took my departure hard. So he's a rock collector. So while I was out of town, I just made it a point to pick up a couple of rocks that were part of the indigenous rock formations of that location, and I brought them home, and he was delighted. I was such a hero, not because the rocks were important, but because Dad thought about him and in such a specialized way.
Yeah, now what about a spouse who may not be as easily placated with rocks?
Well, what spouses want to know is, are you really committed to me? And what you have to do there is be a student of your spouse. I mean, what are their likes and dislikes? It may be a meal alone. It may be a night out. It may be a back rub. It may be a sympathetic ear when you get home. It could be a host of things. But whatever it is, it just needs to communicate on a very personal and intimate level that you're connected to their personality and to their soul.
That brings up the question of infidelity, which I would imagine could be a legitimate concern for the spouse left behind, or even the one traveling, for that matter.
Without a doubt, if you can do some things to confirm that you are solely committed to them, it'll go a long way in easing their tension. What do I mean by that? Well, I think you need to sit down as a couple and describe to one another what the boundaries are in your relationship. Some people may have tighter boundaries than others, but some of those boundaries might be when you're out of town, you won't dine alone with a member of the opposite sex, if at all possible.
In your book, you talk about the stress of what you call re-entry. A father, say, has gone for a couple of weeks, and instead of returning to a warm, loving household, he sort of gets the cold shoulder when he gets home. How should a family deal with that kind of transition?
What we find here is you have a collision of expectations that are different. You know, one specific example is most travelers want to come home to a warm, cozy, quiet environment. On the other hand, a typical homebound spouse is a mom with a couple of kids, and the last thing she wants to do is spend another evening at home. She wants to get out and probably be taken to dinner and wined and dined. And for those people that will adapt and make some changes, because travel always involves some sort of sacrifice, what happens on the rebound is you overcome some of the natural liabilities and find out that you'll have a stronger marriage. I mean, just think of the dynamics between a husband and a wife. If a husband in this scenario comes home after being out of town for a week, week and a half, and instead of just throwing his bags in the corner and asking his wife what's for dinner, he says, you know, honey, what would you like to do tonight? And somehow he figures out a way to get a little bit more energy, and he takes her out and just sacrificially gives 2.5 hours of his evening to her to just try and meet her needs. Can't you see how that would really strengthen their marriage relationship?
When does a couple know that the strain of traveling is getting to be too much? Are there some warning signs?
Depression is a sign in all of its manifestations. Problems with finances, some trouble with parenting and child rearing, and also low performance for the person that's out on the road as part of their career. They just quite can't handle the expectations of their job assignment because they are so lonely, or they're filled with anxiety, or maybe guilt or something else.
Okay, Jim, so to wrap it up, give me your top tips for families who have frequent business travelers in them. How can they save their marriage if they're feeling the stress and strain of one spouse traveling a lot?
Number one, develop a good attitude. Recognize that the person that's leaving town is doing so for career reasons that are meant to be a benefit to the family, number one. Number two, flexibility in all things, because travel never quite goes the way it's planned. On the other hand, thirdly, planning is critical. Not just itinerary planning and family calendar planning, but financial planning is another. Fourthly, a good network of friends, both out on the road for the traveler and those in town for the homebound spouse. People that are trustworthy, people that are honorable, people that you can afford to be with.
You know, when you say all this, it seems like common sense.
You know, Rudy, that is it in a nutshell. What we discovered as we went through the research and then our own experiences is that really this is a compilation of common sense. And I guess the reason it's novel is because when you're traveling, you're sort of running and gunning and trying to make sure you make your plane on time and get that rental car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's easy to leave common sense behind.
Jim Cote is co-author of the book On the Road Again, Travel, Love, and Marriage. By the way, a recent study by the Travel Association of America says these days more of us are actually taking family members with us on business trips. Matter of fact, since 1987, the number of business trips that have integrated family travel has jumped more than 200%.